We've been going through a series called The Supremacy of God's Love. Not normally what you may hear about God's love because it's so vast, so huge, so all-encompassing. But last week we heard about seven different aspects, and the week before, seven other aspects of the love of God. Last week we heard about that He displays His love by placing the righteous on His right side. We also learned last week that He displays His supremacy of love by ascending to the throne of God in heaven. Then we went on to talk about His love in making all things new, all things. We went from there to talk about His love by displaying and also creating the angelic host. We went through all the different aspects of angels. Then we went on to say that He displayed His love by the flood, burning plague of His world, and the cleansing for His righteous ones, His believers, to cleanse His earth by His judgment and wrath with the motivation for His own earth, and also secondarily for us, the righteous. We went from there to talk about His love displayed by creating man and woman. And from there, we ended last week with talked about the incredible aspect of His love by giving us the Scriptures, all of the Word of God. This morning, we're going to be going through the last seven, Lord willing, of the different aspects of the love of God. Number 15 was to send His prophets and apostles and last prophets. Turn me, if you will, to Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians 2. Let's stand together as we look at Ephesians, the second chapter, and I'd like to read down from verse 19 to the end of the chapter, just these three verses. In Ephesians 2, verse 19, it says, "Then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." You may be seated within God's Word. 88 prophets in the Scriptures, 88 that are actually named. 63 in the Old Testament, 25 in the New Testament, ending with the establishment of the first century church, not carried on. 24 apostles are mentioned in the Scripture. Obviously, the 12 original, Judas losing his place to be sent to hell and await final judgment at the great white throne, Matthias taking his place. So you have the 12 of them, plus 12 others, such as Barnabas, such as Paul the apostle. So 88 prophets, 24 apostles. It's hard to underestimate the significance of the apostles. The apostles basically were all martyred, and many of them horribly, giving up their life for the witness of Christ. Now, John was the exception. I believe God held him back until 90, 91, 92 AD, right in that section where he wrote the Revelation. But 11 out of 12 of the apostles were martyred. And so, the foundation stones of the New Jerusalem are named after them. Let's look at Revelation 21. You don't need to stand. I'll just read it for us. In Revelation 21, and I want to read just one verse, 14. It says, "And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones. Of course, this city is the New Jerusalem, had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The 12 names of the 12 apostles will be actually what we will walk across in the New Jerusalem on the foundation stones below our feet. Think of the magnitude of that honor. Now, finally, we talked about the prophets, the apostles, but I also mentioned that he would send his prophets and apostles and last prophets. There are finally going to be two prophets that will come forth at the end of the age during the Great Tribulation specifically, but they will begin to be known during the tribulation preceding the Great Tribulation. And they will be endowed with the most power, authority, and revelation that's ever been given to men. Fire, plagues, miracles, revelation, all of these roll from these incredible men. Let me just read you a couple of scriptures. Zechariah 4, if you want to turn with me, you're welcome to. But in Zechariah 4, Zechariah prophesies about these two, if you can believe it. So I do believe it. And I answered and said to him, this is, of course, speaking to the angel. This is Zechariah 4, verse 11. What are these two olive trees on the right of the lampstand and on its left? And I answered the second time and said to him, what are these two olive branches which are beside the two golden pipes which empty the golden oil, from themselves? So he answered me, saying, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. And he said, these are the two anointed ones who are standing by the Lord of the whole earth. So Zechariah is here prophesying of these last two prophets. I believe the prophets ended during the establishment of the church, first century. They haven't been carried on where these guys all call themselves prophets. But here at the end of the age, he does bring forth two more. So it ends up being a total of 90, if you will, 88 plus two. The power that they're given is unbelievable. Let's look at Revelation 11. Revelation 11, and I'd like to read just a couple of verses from chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. These are the two olive trees. Of course, that's referring back to Zechariah's prophecy. And the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. And if anyone desires to harm them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. Anyone would desire to harm them in this manner, he must be killed. Verse 6, they have the power to shut up the sky in order that rain may not fall during the days of their prophesying. And they have power over the waters to turn them into blood and to smite the earth with every plague as often as they desire. What an incredible phrase. Moses had no such power. Elijah even had no such power. As often as they desire. Moses was clearly led by the Lord for the 10 plagues he'd brought down on Egypt. He was clearly led in the wilderness when the earth opened up under his command with Korah and the rebellion. But these two have authority as often as they desire. Now, they are at the very end martyred, and that goes on in Revelation 11. I don't need to read it, but it's right there if you want to read it later. But I do want to turn to Daniel 12. Daniel 12, verse 7 says these words, and I heard the man dressed in linen, this is, of course, the angel that was speaking to Daniel, who was above the waters of the river, as he raised his right hand and his left hand towards heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be a time, times, and half a time. By the way, that's where we get the great tribulation, 3.5 years, is right here from Daniel, the 12th chapter. And as soon as they finish, who's the they? The two. As soon as they finish shattering the power of the holy people, in other words, the beast, the false prophet, the dark minions of the age will come against the people of God, and particularly against those two. And then it says all these events will be completed. So the great tribulation winds right down, this massive what happens at the end, but it happens at the martyrdom of the two from Revelation 11, Zechariah 4, 16. Again, these are the supremacy of the love of God, God's love, to brighten with light minds and thoughts. The great manifestation of his love when he enlightens our minds now. In John 14 says these words in verse 26. When the Helper comes, the Helper is the Holy Spirit, obviously, whom I will send to you from the Father. There's the Trinity right there. That he, that is the Spirit, capital S, of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. So things are prophesied by Christ that he will bring to remembrance, things that spoke to the apostles, but it's also to you. John 14:26. It's spoken to both the disciples and to us. To have our minds renewed is the grace love of divinity. Let's look at 2 Corinthians of how far this goes. Oh, this is a beautiful scripture. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thought raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Okay, you got your mind. You're thinking. How often do you pray that your thoughts would be covered by God, by his blood, by the wonder of his magnificent revelation? But God means for our thoughts to be covered by him, and every thought that is not of him, oh, I'm so great, or I'm really something else, or check me out. Every thought that is not of him is taken captive. That thought captivated, locked up, that's not of God. It says in Isaiah 55, it talks about our thoughts. Isaiah 55, in verses 8 through 11, says these incredible words. Again, Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and make it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so my word will be as it goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. Another translation is void, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. His thoughts aren't our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. By the Holy Spirit, his thoughts are meant to become yours, ours, the believers. John 8, verse 12 says, I am the light of the world. Again, we're saying his supremacy of his love is shown to us to brighten with light our minds and our thoughts. His light piercing our darkness, because we have it, the Adamic nature within us, and the world's great deceptions. All right, let's go to 17. To reveal mysteries and wonders. Isaiah 45, verse 15 says, truly, thou art a God who hides himself. Suddenly, the kingdom of God is upon us. Colossians 1, verse 27. Colossians 1, 27 says, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we proclaim him, admonishing every man and woman with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. The mystery which has been hidden, which is Christ in you. Boy, we carry a mystery within us. Are you aware of this? It's a great mystery. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Revelation 1, verse 12. This might be worth you turning to with me. Revelation 1, verse 12 and onward. This talks about the church in the early part of Revelation. And I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the middle of the lampstands, one like a son of man, that's of course Christ, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, and girded across his breast with a golden girdle. And his head and his hair were like white wool, like snow. And his eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet were like burnished bronze when it has been caused to glow in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. And in his right hand he held seven stars. And out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. But what a description of Jesus. And his face was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. Boy, I would have too. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. Write these things which you have seen, and these things which are, and the things which shall take place after these things. That's three whole different time frames. The things which were, that's before Christ. The things which are, that's talking about the time of his birth, resurrection, ascension. The things will take place after these things. That's what we're talking about this morning. As for the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and they were huge, by the way, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Pentecost was the birth of the church. The Ephesian church, that was the first of the seven. Christ said they'd left their first love. He did commend them in many ways, but he also said they had left their first love. The last of the seven churches was the Laodicean church, which he called lukewarm, which is where we are. Many things have remained a mystery and sealed up until the, quote, end of days, last days, quote, time of the end, quote. When is that? Now. Let's listen to this scripture when we talk about mysteries and wonders. Ezekiel chapter 10, then I looked, and behold, in the expanse that was over the heads of the cherubim, something like a sapphire stone, in appearance resembling a throne, appearing above them. And he spoke to the man clothed in linen and said, enter between the whirling wheels under the cherubim and fill your hands with coals of fire from between the cherubim and scatter them over the city. And he entered in my sight. Now the cherubim were standing on the right side of the temple when the man entered, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub to the threshold of the temple, and the temple was filled with the cloud, and the court was filled with the brightness of the glory of the Lord. Moreover, the sound of the wings of the cherubim was heard as far as the outer court, like the voice of God Almighty when he speaks. And it came about when he commanded the man clothed in linen, saying, take fire from between the whirling wheels and from between the cherubim. And he entered and stood beside a wheel. Then the cherub stretched out his hand from between the cherubim to the fire, which was between the cherubim, and took some of it and put it in the hands of the one clothed in linen. He took it and went out. And the cherubim appeared to have the form of a man's hand under their wings. Then I looked, and behold, four wheels beside the cherubim, one wheel beside each cherub. And the appearance of the wheels was like the gleam of a Tarshish stone. And as for their appearance, all four of them had the same likeness, as if one wheel were within another wheel. When they moved, they went in any of their four directions without turning as they went. But they followed in the direction which they faced without turning as they went. And their whole body, their backs, their hands, their wings, and the wheels were under the eyes all around the wheels belonging to the four of them. And the wheels were called in my hearing the whirling wheels, and each one had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub. The second face was the face of a man. The third, the face of a lion. And the fourth, the face of an eagle. Then the cherubim rose up. They were the living beings that I saw by the river Chebar. And when the cherubim moved, the wheels would go beside them. Also, when the cherubim lifted up their wings to rise from the ground, the wheels would not turn from beside them. When the cherubim stood still, the wheels would stand still. And when they rose up, the wheels would rise with them, for the spirit of the living beings was in them. Then the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim. You talk about mystery. You talk about things we don't understand. Did you understand all that? I mean, this is incredible what Ezekiel saw. The mysteries and wonders of God are beyond our minds to understand. I just gave you a taste from Ezekiel about the living beings. Let's go into 18. 18 is to infuse with hope and trust. This is a supremacy of God's love. Let's turn to Ephesians. Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians 2, and I'd like to read a couple of verses from verse 12 and onward for a few verses. Ephesians 2, verse 12. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus. You who were formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. So for the church age, the covenants of Israel and the ordinances of the church are now one in Christ, and there's one door, not through works, but through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The ability to hope, Ability? The ability to hope. The wonder of having trust, all because of his love. Beautiful scripture from Psalm 56. Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4 says this, when I am afraid, this is Psalm 56, verse 3, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in thee, in God, whose word I praise. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? What a beautiful scripture. In Psalm 27, verse 5, it says, in the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. God hides us within his tent. Psalm 42, verse 5 says, to me and to you, hope in God, for I shall again praise him. Let's look at the 19th one, to make known the Godhead is the supremacy of God's love. To make known the Godhead. Until Christ came, it was hidden, the true revealing and understanding of the Trinity. Now, there have been hints, certainly, many hints. The Christophanies, that's the appearance of the Lord in the Old Testament, the visions of the prophets, the dreams of the prophets, and the prophets themselves alluded many times to the Trinity. But there was still a great veil over the wonders of the Godhead. And even today, are you aware we still only see in part? You don't get it all. We get the basic theology, the basic doctrine of the Trinity, but we don't see it all. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, it's often called the love chapter, but there's more in that chapter than just love, because it says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly or darkly, but then face to face. Now I know, this is the Apostle Paul, but now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as I have been fully known. I believe the Trinity itself is the greatest of all mysteries, the greatest of all wonders. We've been trying to explain this and codify this and creed this, the meaning of the Trinity and the understanding of the Godhead since Bethlehem, since the angels proclaimed it. But I want to read to you from Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 21 through 23. It says, and the street of the city, that's the New Jerusalem. Again, I'm reading from Revelation 21, 21. Was pure gold. This is what John was seeing. Like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God the Almighty, that's the Father, the Lord God Almighty, and the Lamb, that's Jesus, are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God, that's the Holy Spirit, has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb, that's Christ. So you've got the Trinity, as the Bible concludes in Revelation 21, right there. Let's look at number 20 and our 21 manifestations to show the path of the highway of holiness. To show the path of the highway of holiness. Got to read about this. If you're going to talk about the highway of holiness, you got to read Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35, verse 8, it says, and a highway will be there. I'm reading from Isaiah 35, verse 8. A roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast go up on it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed of the Lord will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting joy upon their heads, and they will find gladness and joy and sorrow and sighing will flee away. The highway of holiness is there. However, no one sees it or walks on it except the redeemed. It says the unclean, that's all humanity, will not travel on it. And fools, that's the world, will not wander on it there in verse 8. It's a rare, hidden, unseen pathway. I would say to you, find it. Climb up on it, believer. Travel upward towards it, and in that towards the crystal clear jasper City of God. Don't wait for heaven. Don't pause. Do it now. Do you see that highway? And you will by faith, by belief, by trust, by hope. In the word of the Savior, He will show you if you believe. Are you a believer? Last one. To speak, reveal, and enlighten the souls of men. This is the final way that I'm saying, and I believe the Lord is saying, that He will reveal and has revealed His supremacy of His love. God means to speak to us via His Word, capital W, His Spirit, and His chosen spokesman, in that order, by the way. The revelation of God's Word is rare and essential. To have the light of heaven shine on our souls. Indeed, the greatness of God to illumine us. His favored ones walk and live within that light. Oh, Isaiah 60. What a scripture. Isaiah 60, verse 1 and onward. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth. Boy, does it ever. Darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and His glory will appear upon you. And nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see. They all gathered together, they come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in the arms. Then you will see, and you will be radiant. Your heart will thrill and rejoice because of the abundance of the sea will be turned to you, and the wealth of the nations will come to you. In John 8:12, it says concerning Jesus, He said it in first person, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So where have we been? I'll go through them briefly. Here are the 21. God has shown the supremacy of His love by giving of Himself, secondly, to cleanse the leper, in other words, sin, to give sight to the blind, number four, to seal the tree of life, fifth, to close the gates of pearls, open only to the redeemed, sixth, to show the world the God-man Christ, seventh, to open the door of the sheepfold, eight, to place the righteous on His right side. Nine, to ascend to heaven. 10, to make all things new. 11, to create the angelic hosts. 12, to flood, burn, and plague his world. 13, to make man and woman. 14, to give us all scripture. 15, as we did this morning, to send his prophets and apostles and last prophets, which include the oil flowing from them of revelation and insight. 16, to brighten with light the minds and thoughts of his own. 17, to reveal the mysteries and wonders. 18, to infuse us with hope and trust. 19, to make known the Godhead. 20, to show the path of the highway of holiness. And 21, to speak, reveal, enlighten the souls of men. The supremacy of God's love. God bless you.